Okay, good morning, welcome back. We are today going to learn Siman Pei Dalet. Siman Pei Dalet is a long Siman, 17 Sifim. It deals with the halachis of Teiloyim. The halachis of bugs, a very popular set of halachis today, which was in yesterday's parasha. As I hope to demonstrate. The main point you have to know when you start Hilchos Teiloyim is that this is a siman full of heterim. It's not a siman full of isurim. Bugs are osur. That takes about three words to say. Bugs are osur. Nevela is osur. There's no 17 sifim on Nevela being osur. Nevela is just osur. There are no heterim in Nevela. In the case of Teiloyim, however, it's not true that categorically there's an Issa Teiloyim. As a matter of fact, the Siman deals with the various heterim in Hilchos Teiloyim. And we're going to try to deal with how they apply. This is the reason that there's a tremendous amount of disagreement today about the Teiloyim in fish, the Teiloyim in strawberries, the Teiloyim in water, the Teiloyim in many of the vegetables we have. There's a great degree of disagreement. And this siman is organized, as all the simanim in Shulchan Aruch are, to deal with the various cases of shratzim. So even though it's 17 sifim long, the siman deals with three types of shratzim. Sheretz Hamayim, Sheretz Haaretz, and Sheretz Ha'if. These are the three types of shrotzim that the Torah asers. There are many shrotzim that the Torah does not aser. We're going to learn that Sheretz Habayrais, which we're going to talk about today, there are certain bugs that are mutter, that are found in pits full of water, or Sheretz Haperos. Somebody opened up a cashew and found a worm inside. And said, wow, you see, you got to check cashews for worms. Now, we're going to learn about it. The pashtus is that you're allowed to eat that worm with mustard and ketchup, whatever you like. Because not all shrotzim are osir. A Sheretz is only osir if it fits one of three categories. A Sheretz Hamayim, which we'll define today. A sheretz haaretz, which means it crawled on the ground, as opposed to a sheretz that was created, so to speak, inside a fruit. And a sheretz haif, which is a sheretz, an airborne sheretz. Those are the three shrotzim that are aser, and we're going to discuss them. The first three sifim deal with sheretz hamayim, and that's going to be the discussion that we're going to deal with today. Now, before we begin, you have to know that Chazal, and really all of humanity up to a relatively short period of time ago, believed in spontaneous generation. Now, what spontaneous generation means is that there are some bugs that are not born from mommy bugs. In other words, most creatures come from a male and female, or at least from a female a parent. And the way we understand science today, and it seems to be true, is that there is no living creature in the world that doesn't trace its lineage back to life that existed during the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. In other words, there's no such thing as life created in a test tube, or life created in a laboratory, or life created in a bar. There is no such thing. When they talk about cloning, they're talking about taking a living cell that's alive, that had a mommy cell, and that came all the way back from life that was created during the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. There is no other, according to our understanding of the world today, there is no other life except life that comes from a parent to a child. However, The Rambam didn't believe that. The Rambam believed in spontaneous generation. Now, I want to explain. Now, when I say the Rambam believed it, all of science believed in it. There was nobody who didn't believe in it. Many of the greatest scientific names, historical names, all believed that if you take meat and you let it rot, the meat turns into worms. The meat itself turns into worms. The worms don't come necessarily from somewhere else, but the decaying matter turns into creatures. And it's called spontaneous generation. I'd like to read to you a Rambam, which is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan here in the beginning of Pei Dalet. So we're talking about the Rambam a long time ago, and the Aruch HaShulchan a little over a century ago. You know that in Chumash, bugs or small creatures are called shrotzim and called ramasim. Shrotzim, what's in this? Shrotzim and ramasim. What did our rebbeim say? Krichadika, which one? In Yiddish, that one type of shrotzim. Now come on, you guys don't remember? What, the krichadika was the one? What? It also in Yiddish. David, you don't know what they call shrotzim or ramasim? Okay. I forgot. But anyway, whatever my rebbeim said, this is what it says in the Rambam. Kodeh in Darach HaShulchan, Pei Dalet Tziv Dalet. Ma bein sheretz ha'aretz lebein remes ha'aretz. Wasn't it sheretz and remes? Sheretz ha'aretz mikri shrotzim sheparim v'rabim izachol nekeva. Sheretz is a creature that comes from a parent. V'remes ha'aretz mikri elo aminim shenivram ba'ashbais u'begufei neveilais k'gayrima v'seleia v'kiyaitzimahen shenim einam nivram mizachar nekeva el min glolim she'esrichu k'yaitzimahen. Now, this, without a question, was the understanding of all of humanity up till fairly, historically, very recent times. We understand today that it's not correct. I mean, it seems to be correct. How could it be that every single, whatever it is, a bird that dies, or a cat that dies, every single one, the worms find it? Like, the worms, what kind of internet do they have that they communicate with each other? You'll never find a dead carcass of an animal with zero worms. You're always going to have worms. You go out in the fields, you're always going to have worms. Now, how could it be that they don't miss a single one? They're like 100% efficient? It sounds like a dove pella. The logical answer would seem to be that it comes from the carcass itself. But the truth of the matter is, certainly the way we understand today, no one knows what science will say 100 years from now, but we understand that every creature comes from a parent creature. Now here, before we start this simin, we have a kasha. We know that kol habomin atame tame. Anything that comes from a treifa creature is treif. Even if you were to have a treifa animal give birth to a baby animal that chews its cud and has split hoofs, it would be treif. Because kol ha'yotze min ha'tame tame, if a treif creature gives birth to another creature, it's also treif. So the question now becomes, how can I tell you a worm in a cashew is mutter? Why? It was never shayretz alo oretz. Right? Well, we're going to learn in a few minutes. A worm that is found in a body of standing water is mutter. If you have a bucket of water or you have a bar of water, not moving water, it's mutter. The whole point of the shiur today is to make the point, not all bugs are aser. A bug is only aser if it's either crawls on the ground, sheretz aretz, flies in the air, sheretz aif, or it's a sheretz hamayim, which we're going to learn is a bug that was in Yamim v'Naharais, that was in an ocean or a river. All other bugs are mutter. How could all other bugs be mutter? Every bug comes from a a zachav in the keva bug, or at least in the keva bug, some of them that are aser. I mean, how did the bug get into the kashu? It's El Tzei that wasn't in the same kashu. The kashu is only a year old. So the answer is that the answer Chazal had was spontaneous generation. It didn't have a mommy and a dad. But today we understand that it did. So the Yisayid HaDavar is the following. Now, this is printed in the Michtam Eliyahu. However, it's not original. It's not Rav Dessler's original explanation. It's something that Rebbe Feinstein told me a long time ago, and Rav David said in a different context, Yibod L'chaim, and it's the following. Any creature that's not visible is not aser. Any living creature that's not visible is not aser. In halacha, it does not exist. Now, we're going to argue about what's visible. All I have to do is come in one week, give everyone a jar of water from the tap, and ask you if you can see any copepods inside. And we'll get into an argument about whether they're visible or not. So what's called visible, we're going to kick down the road because it's later in the siman. But if it's not visible, if it's too small to be seen normally, then a bug is not aser. A bug is not aser. The Chachma Sa'adam writes in the early 1800s that the air around us is full of living bacteria, living creatures. Every time you inhale different living organisms. But it's not aser, because what's not nira la'ayin is not aser. If you have a creature that's born from an egg, but that egg, when it was laid, was not visible. It comes from a very small a creature whose egg is not visible. So as long as the egg is not visible, it's not aser. When the egg hatches and a worm begins to grow and it goes through its stages, when it becomes visible, then it becomes aser. In the eyes of halacha, that's not called kol hayotze min atame tame. It's important to understand this. This is again for the entire siman, that a creature, kol hayotze min atame tame, means if a pig was to give birth to a creature that has split hooves and chews its cud, it's aser, because it comes from a pig, which is aser. However, if what comes out of a bug is something not visible, it's not yoytzim and atame tame. What came out is mutter. Later, when it becomes visible, its existence begins, in the eyes of halacha, begins at that moment. And since it begins at that moment, halachically, it's the equivalent of spontaneous generation. It's the equivalent in the sense that the rule of kol hayotzei min atame tame, the baby of a treif, a creature is treif, does not apply, because when it was yaitse min atame, it was not tame. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when we begin the siman, and including today, we are going to learn certain bugs are mutter. Certain ones are aser, and certain ones are mutter. And you'll ask me, how could it be mutter? It's born from a trefa mommy bug. The answer is that in the eyes of halacha, the rule that kol hayotzei min atame tame does not apply, because at the time the mother bug laid this egg, it was not aser. It was not yaitzim and atame tame. At that time it was mutter. And memela, it's considered for all practical purposes to have an identity of its own. This is the hagdama to the siman. And we're not going to discuss it. I'm not going to talk about it as spontaneous generation, because today we understand there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. It seems very clear. But nevertheless, we will discuss the fact that there are creatures that are mutter, and that for that reason, for the reason I just explained, it's not called kol hayotzei min atame tame. This is the Hakdama to the Siman. And today we're going to start, our discussion today is going to be about Sheretz HaMayim, about bugs found in water. It's not a new thing that bugs are found in water. Most bodies of water will have some types of bugs in them. Sometimes they are filtered, sometimes they're not filtered. And when the bugs come through the water, that's where we have a shower.
What happens to that cashew? Did that worm come back?
The bug in the cashew, it's very fascinating to split a cashew and find a worm inside. That, how did it get in there? It's such a tight fit, it doesn't fit. The answer is that it got in there when it was a tiny egg. And that tiny egg eventually grew into a worm. At some moment, it became visible. Now, it was covered by the cashew. No one saw it. But at some moment, it became visible. And at that moment that it became visible, it existed. It was never Sheretz al Haaretz, presumably. We'll have to talk about what that is. It was never Sheretz al Haaretz. It was never flume. It was never in water. Then that's called Sheretz HaPeiros. Sheretz HaPeiros is mutter. The Torah only answers Sheretz HaAretz, Sheretz HaMayim, and Sheretz HaAyim. So we're going to discuss the raisins. Raisins don't grow with bugs. The bugs come when the grapes are put out to dry. They're spread out on the ground to dry. That's when the bugs come into raisins. And we'll discuss that, I guess, when we get to the halachas of the peiros.
You mentioned
that yeah. Yes. Rav Dessler, in a footnote, they bring for Rav Dessler this explanation. In, I think it's a Chelek Dalet. I believe that I'll find you where it is. But I'll find for you. What? So we're going
to
discuss it when we get there. It's only a big sad that they should not have to be checked, despite. Although it does depend, which we're going to get to. Okay, today we're talking about the Sheretz HaMayim, about bugs found in water. And we're going to limit our discussion. There's so much to talk about that it's impossible to cover everything in one day. I want to tell you the copepod issue has three possible heterim. We're going to discuss one, Rebelsky's heter today. There are other heterim. There are those who consider it to be not visible, which we'll discuss. And the question of how matzui it is, how common, if it's common enough to be osur or not, if it's imir ha-matzui, imir chein ha-matzui, we're going to get to those two possible heterim when the Shulchan Aruch gets to it. I think it's fair to say that of those who are mekel, many of them are mekel because they hold of the other two heterim, not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is a more lamdish shaila. It's Rebelsky's reason for being matir. And this is what we're going to discuss. Okay, so from here on in, we're discussing Sheretz HaMayim exclusively, the rules of bugs found in water, and as I told you, it's found in all types of water. Copepods are not found in underground water. Queens gets its water from underground aquifers. There are no copepods there, but all above ground bodies of water are prone to have copepods. The Kinneret, my understanding is, does not have copepods because it has a very high pH level. There are certain pH levels that don't allow copepods to live. I tried to Google it and find out exactly what the pH level is and how common it is. So just to give you an idea of what I found, I'll read to you the very beginning. It seems to be not perfectly clear. I want to read to you the beginning. I Googled it. The first thing I got was from Oxford University, a study of copepods in high pH level water. So it says the following. I'm just going to read part of it and you'll get the idea. A larva culture of most marine species require live feed. The main thing copepods do in water in the Bria is their feed for small fish. It has been shown that copepods are a superior diet for many fish larvae. due to their size, swimming behavior, and their biochemical profile. In semi-intensive outdoor copepod cultures, it is imperative to understand pH effects and copepod assemblages in order to eventually select for robust species able to resist large fluctuations in environmental perimeters. Productive cultures are characterized by high photosynthesis, in which the zooplankton are at risk of exposure to pH levels exceeding 9.5. At severely elevated pH levels, the copepod assemblage has been reported to change from a -5% dominance of C towards a +90% acretia superior. In a similar hypotherapeutic Taiwanese pond system, it goes on like this, it's just not readable. It's just all the words here, I just have no clue what it's talking about. Somewhere at the end they say, it is well documented that an extreme pH elevation, as documented in the present study, kills a number of copepod species. Hence, practically only one species is present in the intersection, they refer to a certain body of water, which species assemblage is significantly reduced compared to open water. So in Eretz Yisrael, they don't make a tumult over it, probably because of this reason. Also, in other cities in New York, in the United States, where the water is filtered to a degree that gets rid of copepods. New York City water is considered so superior that it doesn't require high filtration. And that's why in New York, except for certain areas of Queens, we have, which get their water from underground aquifers, the higher levels, the elevated levels of Queens, don't get their water from the reservoirs because it wouldn't. They're just too high to have natural water pressure.
The southeast part, okay.
And I think also there are parts of Upper Manhattan that get from aquifers, the Columbia Hospital area, I believe. But for the most part, we all get our water from reservoirs. Now,
in Europe,
all day, are many tshuvas about it. In Europe, there were problems. Ram Shik writes how the water in his town was a problem. Well water, we're going to learn, is not necessarily a problem. But the open waters, there are many tshuvas about drinking water. The Dr. Tshuva has many tshuvas on these sifim about being able to drink water without filtering it through a cheesecloth. And it's not something new. Ram Shikin, it's in Aruch Chaim. Tshuva Kuf Lamed Zayin has an Arichos, it's in Aruch Chaim. He talks about whether you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, and that's what he writes. Now, we're going to learn Sif Aleph and Beis. I just want to tell you I want to read the Pasuk. The Pasuk that Asas Shrotzim in Parsha Shmini refers to Yamim Unechalim. Refers to an Isser in Yamim, which are seas or oceans, and the Chalim, which are rivers of flowing water. Ezet Toichlo Mekasha B'mayim, Kasha Loi Snapi V'Kaskesis B'mayim, B'yamu B'Banacholim Oysam Teichelu. V'Kasha Ein Loi Snapi V'Kaskesis B'yamu B'Banacholim, V'Kol Sheretz HaMayim, V'Kol Nefesh HaChayesh HaBamayim Sheket Seim Lochem. The Torah puts tray for fish and tray for bugs in the same parasha. And of course, bugs don't have kaskesis for snapier. So it's asr. But, kol ha-shein lo snapkes bayamim uba necholim mikol sheretz ha-mayim mikol nefesh ha-chai yashem b'mayim sheket seim lochem. That means, bugs found in seas and oceans, or in the cholim, or in running water, in rivers, that's awesome. The Gemara says clearly that if you have bugs which come about in bayrais, meaning in standing water, big puddles, or even in pits, somebody digs a pit to have water. So bugs that come about in mayim and bayrais, l'kuli alma is mutter. There's no man the alma that asks. There's no question that bugs. I say that come about, I mean, like I said before, that you collect rainwater in a bar. Rain doesn't come down with bugs. And then, when you go to the bar, you find bugs in the bar. The bugs in the bar are mutter. Now, we're going to learn what the rules of the heter are with the sifa. What? Excuse me? It's a very good question. You mean to try for fish that spawned there? Okay. It's a legitimate question, but let's put it off till we learn sifa alf and beis. Because you're suggesting we could create kosher shrimp, really, by putting them in bayrois, and you may be right. We'll have to see. Well, talk to how do you know that? You don't know that. You're just guessing.
Sure.
What? Yeah, so bayrois hamayim, shrotzi hamayim don't live on dry land. The shrotzi hamayim are species that only live in water, just like fish don't live in dry land. The shrotzi hamayim live in water, and that's where they're spawned, and that's why they're not all the same. Now, again, we're going to learn sifal beis. There are three types of bugs. There are shrotzim and yamim unachalim. The chumash says they're aser. There are bayrais vekelim, which are kuli alma amuter. Now we're going to have an in-between stage, what we call charitzim v'ni'itzim, and we'll see what that means. That means water, we'll see it's in bays, but there is an in-between stage of body of water which is subject to a machlaikis in the Gemara, and tuman di'amrim in siv bays, and that is the discussion regarding the water we have in our city. And I'll explain the metzius after we learn the halacha. So let's learn sif aleph and beis and try to get clarity on which bugs are mutter, which are aser. As I told you, this simon is all about heterim. Say bugs are aser, finished. It's a nice thing to say, but it's not true. It's not absolutely true. Not all bugs are aser. Sif aleph, beis, and to a smaller degree sif gimel, talk about Shratzei Hamayim, Dikra, Sif Aleph, and Beis. Let's try to focus on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shratzei Magadelim B'mayim Shebekelim Mishebebeirais. Now, Beirais Shichen U'ma'arais. You've had this in the Gemara all the time. The Gemara lumps together three bodies of water called Beirais, Shichen, and Ma'arais. Beirais, I've told you many times, is either a pit or a cistern, depending on which volume of Artscroll Erevin you have. The first volume of Artscroll Erevin calls it a cistern, because the author wrote pits, and the editor changed it to cistern. When he got to the second volume, the author wrote cistern, and the editor changed it to pits. So this is, it sounds like a joke, that's what happened. And the editors have to change it, so it's either a pit or a cistern, which is essentially the same thing. It's a body of water that has no source of its own, and it's mutter. Now, I want to tell you interesting. What are Beirais, Shich, and Marais? The Shach says, Shach Beis, Pirish Rashi V'ram, Perish Oshanagach, Boir Ogol. A bar is a round pit. Shiach Arucha V'Ktsara is a long, narrow canal of water. That's a Shiach. Ma'ara Merubas U'Mechusa B'Kirei. Ma'ara is a cave. Something in a ma'ara. There is a gra in the Gilead in Taharis. When I was learning Mishnah's Taharis, I don't remember which Masechta, but I bumped into a gra in the Gilead. He says the following. He says there are three main uses for water. The main uses of water are for drinking, for laundering, and for bathing. Those are the three main uses of water in this world. So Hashem created Beirais, Shichin, Ma'arais. Beirais are used for drinking, the pits of drinking water. Shichin are canals of water where the ladies line up and do the laundry before washing machines. So you have a long, narrow canal. And Ma'arais are water that collect in a cave, which is appropriate for somebody who wants to be tznua and bathe. So he says, that's why Chazal always talk about Beirais, Shichin, Ma'arais. No nafkamina la'alach, it's just a taich. Back to Shulchan Aruch. Shratzim agadelim b'mayim shebekelim, shebebeirais, Shichin, Ma'arais. She'enam noivim. Now, word noivim we're going to have to talk about. Noiveya means flow. It doesn't flow. Mutarim. Afishelam snapi v'kaskesis. Even though they have no fins and scales. Now, the tricky part is what follows now. Lefika. So therefore what? Shaycha v'shaysa mehen. You can bend down, put your mouth to the bar of water and drink from it. So you could drink from the bar and we don't care if it comes into your mouth. So if we're going to say that our reservoir, we'll talk about the reservoir, if we're going to argue our reservoir is bayreis, so then you could drink the water. But hold on a minute, look at this Ramah. Aval also lishay b'kliv lishdais mehen. But that's not a heter to put in a pail of water and pull out a pail of water. It's not mutter. It's only mutter to bend down and drink straight from the reservoir. Now this seems to mess up this whole heter, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
What's the kalim that in the Mahan?
The kalim means it rains and the water gathers in a kli, or you have bug free water and you put it into a kalim. You come back in the morning and there are bugs in the kalim. There are water bugs in the kalim.
So that's what I mean. Different
thing than Bereshit. Right. It's saying it's the same thing if you find it in a kli or in Bereshit and Amar, right? And now, the first monkey wrench here, because Rebelski's heter, which I'll explain, on the water in New York, is he considers the reservoir to be made by rice. And I'll explain the back and forth on it. But it seems to be a problem because of this Ramah. And we'll come back to it in a minute. The impirshul meimakim revisan. If the bugs left their place where they originated, if they climbed out of the keli, so now they were shayrets outside, they were shayrets al ha'aretz, even if they go back in, asurim. If the bugs climb out and go back in, they're asur. However, you're not obligated to be chayshish, they left. Mutarim. If they climb on the inside of the keli, that's not called pirshu. So why don't we learn a sif aleph? I told you we're learning heterim. We learned a heter of bugs in a boyer, bayreish yichinumaris or kalim, that are spawned there, that so-called created there. Those bugs are mutar, but only if they didn't climb out. Never sheretz al oretz. And the Ramah says it's only mutter to drink directly from the bar and not to take it into a cup of water and drink it. That's awesome. Now that immediately seems to create a problem. Even if you're going to say that Eliyahu Navi tells us that the water in our reservoir is made by rice, it doesn't seem to help because we don't go up to the reservoir and drink from it. Well, we let the water flow into a cup or a pitcher and we drink it there. So there are two important considerations that come into play here. The main one is a machlokes the Rosh and the Rambam. If the bug dies in the bar or the keli, do we say this rule that you can only drink it straight from the bar? But not when it comes out. They tell me it depends why it's different. You're right. We'll get to why in a minute. But if the bug dies while it's still in the bayer, and then it's pirish, is that aser? Could it then become a shayretz al aretz? Could that such a thing be applied? The Rosh says it's mutter. The Rosh says if it dies in the bar, afterwards it's okay. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that it's aser. We're going to have in Shach Yud Beis that he passes like the Rosh. The Rosh is makel if it dies in the water, that what happens to it subsequently is of no consequence. Only when it's alive can it turn into a Shayrus Alor. It's a Shayrus that's awesome. Calls a man, once it dies, its history is done. all of our copepods that we get from the tap, they're all dead, because the water treatment plant adds chemicals to the water, and that kills the copepods. So therefore, if we accept Rabelsky's heter, that the reservoirs are dinner made by rice, since they die in the made by rice when they're connected to the made by rice, therefore the fact that later their pirshu is not a major problem. Like the Rambam, it's a problem. We pass like the Rosh. So in the Ikar Adin, certainly we have a heter. That's the easier heter. There's one additional nekuda, which I just hope is not too confusing to throw so much information at one time. There's a machlokes here, the Shach and the Taz. What the pshat is. I want to tell you, Agav, there's a story in Nach with one of the shaiftim named Gidon. Gidon goes to do battle, and he calls for volunteers. He gets, I think it's 10,000 volunteers. And the Baruch Hashem tells Gidon, no, it's too many. It's too many, we want it to be an open miracle, 10,000 is too many. So he tells people to go home. He's left, I think, with 3,000 at the end. Remember the number? 300 is the third time at the end. So first he left with a few thousand. Baruch Hashem says, too many. I'll tell you what you do. Go tell them to drink from the water. So call ha-karayim ha-shakaru labal. Says those who kneel down to drink, we're going to send them home. Because since they kneel, it could be they kneel to have a desara. And those that lie down flat on the ground, a malakikim kikelev, the pasuk says. They drink from the water like a dog. A dog laps water so straight from the water. The malakikim kikelev, those are the ones that you're going to take. So anybody who learns it, it's the strangest thing. It's not a very not a very pleasant way to drink. I mean, you just say you drink water, you lie down flat, and you malakikim nesamayim. It just sounds... It sounds like the strangest thing. I mean, I would take at least a cup and take it out with a cup, no? Malaki kemayim. Very, very strange. So I had seen then an article from one of the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael who wrote that it could be because of this simen. Because they had Meibayrais. And they were chayshish, the frumis were chayshish for bugs in the water. So they were malakikin. They lie down, they're malakik to water, kikelev. They drank straight, so even if they are bugs, it's no problem. So the erlecha were malakikin mayim, and that's...
What?
So that would be a problem. It depends if it was Rabelsky style nachal or Abdu'l-Mafaisi style nachal. But anyway, it could be why they got used to it at least. I don't know. Anyway, getting back here. What? It would be a problem. I'll tell you why. The Shach and Taz argue, what's the problem? If there are bugs in the buyer, so why is it a problem if you take it out with a cup? Why should that be an issue? So the Shach, it's of Katan Dalit, says the heter is only b'makam revise. It's only, if it's in a bar, it's only mutter in a bar. Once it goes to a keli, it's aser. The Shach holds that the iser is, because the heter is only b'makom revise, the place where it was so to speak created, and not if it goes from a bar to a kli, whatever the beer is. The Taz says no, the heter is a bar and a kli. The chash is when you take a bucket and you take out water, the sum of the bugs are on the outside of the keli. And we said the outside of the keli is aser. So if it's the outside of the keli, l'chayshish that there was water that was on the outside of the keli as you drew it up. Now it was on the bottom, it stayed down, but it was on the top as you drew it. It could be on the top of the keli and it made its way in. The Taz holds that it's a chashash. The Prichadish says nafkamina. If you have pipes. If you have a pipe pulling water out of the bar, into a keli, like the Shach, it's the Lasser. It went from a bar to a kli. But like the Taz, when you have a set pipe, there's no chashash, it was on the outside of the pipe. It only could be on the inside. So the Pri Chodesh writes, he's writing about the water, and his also goes back a couple hundred years ago. And he says, it's totally the machlekes, the shach and the taz, when you have piped water, if it's also. So this, at least the taz, is a tzirif to be makel. Our water, of course, comes through pipes. And according to the taz, it stays mutter. As long as it, if it comes out of the water, the spout in your house, into your cup, there's no chash that it was in the outside of the cup it went in. You didn't dip it in and pull it out. And according to that, it would be mutter. So we have the basic heter of the Rosh, that holds once it's dead, it's mutter. And even like the Rambam, we have a heter like the Taz. So these are the first two categories. Yamim and the Cholim is Aser, Mayim and Kele, Mayim and Bayris Amutter. Now, the third category is Sivbeis, Charitzim and the Itzim. So I'm sorry, Reb Chaim. The third category is Charitzim and the Itzim, Sivbeis, Hagedelim and Mayim Shebechritzim and the Itzim. Now, everything turns on the Taich. What are Charitzim and the Itzim? Pirish, Charitzim, Aruchim, Uktsarim. Charitzim, what's a charitz? Charitz is a dugout, a ditch that's long and narrow. Niitzim rechavim. Dogim. Like what they make for ponds of fish. Shem meishchin, ve'inam noivim. They flow, but they don't have, they're not noiveya. Now noiveya means flowing in or flowing out. So they're meishchin ve'inam noivim. In other words, they move, but they don't flow. Some say it means flowing in or flowing out. Yesh oisrim v'yesh matirin. Very difficult. Mechaber does not paskin. It says yesh oisrim v'yesh matirin. What's the rule when the mechaber says yesh oisrim v'yesh matirin? So the rule is, if he says a heta stoma and yesh oisrim, the halacha is like the first shita. But he says yesh v'yesh, the halacha is like the second shita. The Beis Yosef writes this himself, that this is his code for Shulchan Aruch. But where it's not so clear, he leaves it ambiguous. According to that rule, when he says Yesh Oisrim, the Yesh Matirim, so the halacha would be like the second Shita. However, the Shach in Sivkat Deches says the halacha is like the Oisrim. Yesh Oisrim, Pasuk Marshal, the Chay Mashma, Nas is a veheter. This is how all the achrayim paskin. The Chachmas Adam, Darach Hashulchan, they all paskin that charitzim and neitzim is awesome. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. It's a machlekes in the paskin. It's a tziruf. When we have sveikis, it's definitely a tziruf. But charitzim and neitzim are awesome. So we learned this morning the rule of thumb: water bugs. Creatures that are found in water. Yamam in the Cholim is Aser, it says in Chumash. Bayris and Kelam Amutter, no question. Charitzim and Itzim, we have again a Machlaikis. I mean, this is also a Machlaikis to Rosh and the Rambam. The Rosh and the Rambam have a number of Ikrei Machlaikisim here. It's interesting, in all the Machlaikisim and Shratzim, the Rambam is the Machmir. The Rambam is not always the biggest Machmir, but by Shratzim he is.
So again,
What's that's part of the dispute? What's Meishchim and what's Noivim? In order to be mutter, it has to be. In order to mutterlate everybody, it has to be not Meishchim and not Noivim. If they're Meishchim and not Noivim, it's a machlokes. Noiveya is usually used for a spring of water that comes forth. In other words, a flowing intake of water is noiveya. Meishchim is typically an outlet of water. It flows further. So if it's einam meishchim ve'einam noivim, that's mutter. That's a bar. A bar has no inlet, it has no outlet. It's standing water. So if it has no inlet and no outlet, that's a bar. If it has meishchim ve'einam or noivim, If it's Meishah, but it's Ein Neveya, so it's a Machlaikis, and we pass in Lachumra.
What happens if it's Meishah from a pipe?
Okay, so that's going to be part of the disagreement, and I'd like to explain. I want to tell you, I was in Toronto for Chasna with Rebelski. When Rebelski heard about the bug in the water table for the first time, I was with him in Toronto, and it was before the Chasna. I don't remember where exactly physically we were, but we were staying together, and he got a call about the. That someone said that there are copepods bars in New York water. So it's fascinating. So Rebelski was sitting by the chasna at a table of Rabbanim, and he was talking about Nitzim and Meishchim and Naivim, and I think the rest of the Rabbanim had heard of it vaguely, but you know, would have liked to get 5 minutes to remind themselves what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rebelski was already talking about the way the reservoirs work. I mean, he didn't Google it. You know, this was, you're talking about, was it 15, 20 years ago, in the early 2000s, and he's talking about it at the table, and there was actually very little input from anybody else. Rebelski, the first time he heard about it, he said, the reservoir is a bar. And I want to explain to you my understanding of what Rebelski held. Rav Yaakov Lach, who Lerper Palm, he was in the Smicha Shea, I think the year after me, he published the Chulin booklet with all the pictures, and he, though, you commissioned him to look into the Metzias on the water. Subsequently, Rav David Cohn from Chicago, there are many Rav David Cohn, seems to be a popular name, Rav David Cohn from the Chicago CRC has a sefer on insects, and he brings down the Metzias, according to the way it's understood to be, for Rebelski's Heter. I know people are going to Google and find it is this way, it's not that way. I want to tell you the Metzias HaDvarim, the way he brings it down, and the way, at least this Rabbi Yaakov Lach determined, the water that we get in the city, again, I'm excluding the aquifer water in Queens and Upper Manhattan. The water we get in the city comes from a massive reservoir system. And the last stop of all the water, whether it comes from the Catskills or from the Delaware Water Gap, wherever it comes from, the last stop is in a place called the Canisco Reservoir, which is near White Plains. It's a massive reservoir. It's like mind-boggling. It was dug in 1885. That makes it even more astounding. There was a small lake there. And the Metzias, without a question, is that that lake was Mayim HaMoshchem Menoivim. It was a lake that had an inlet from a stream and an outlet to another stream, to maybe to a river. And at that time, it was Moshchem Menoivim. They brought in and dug over two decades. They expanded it and expanded it, until it became just a mind-boggling body of water. It holds 30 billion gallons of water. 30 billion gallons of water. And it has an intake, a daily intake, and outlet of a little over 1 billion gallons. In other words, New York City gets, I think it's 1.2 billion, 1.1 billion gallons of water every day from this reservoir. So it's an extraordinary amount of water that comes in and goes out every day. Now, the water comes from the Catskills and Delaware. It comes from seven different reservoirs through a series of aqueducts. Also incredible. The Catskill, the reservoirs you see in the Catskills travel 92 miles, mostly underground aqueducts, to make it to the Canisco Reservoir. And when I Googled it, it said, what would happen if the dam would break on the Canisco Reservoir? So it said White Plains would be under 70 feet of water. So in White Plains, they dive in that the dam does not break. What? Whatever they're doing. I'm not fishing for more information. I just want to share the information I have. Okay? Now this reservoir, today, obviously, when it was a little lake, and streams were flowing into it. Now, it's a massive body of water. Those little streams are still flowing into it. However, those streams are a very tiny percentage of the total water that's in the reservoir today. Rabelski holds that reservoir is considered a bar. Now, to be a bar, it has to be neither naivim nor maishim. Means no inlet, no outlet. Let's first talk about inlet. He says that the amount of water that comes is 1 to 2% that flows naturally. It's bottled in the chashivas of the bar. And a bar, just because it has some water, a small amount of water trickling into it, naturally doesn't change it from being a bar. I'm quoting to you, and you want to know, take out the Shulchan Alevi and see a makar. Yeah. This is what Rabelski says. Now, one second. Now, Rav David Feinstein, in his tshuva, so there are two issues. One is if they're considered to be noivim, which is an inlet. Rabelski says that's not an inlet. What about an outlet? Now, there is no natural outlet to the reservoir. It was dammed up. There's no natural outlet. There are pipes. When I say pipes, I don't mean a little round metal pipe. I mean there are caves of water, but they all have doors to them. They're all controlled, and it's let out through man-made actions. Now, for the most of the time, the doors are not opened and closed, but apparently, for maintenance purposes, they do open it and close it occasionally during the year, and Rabelski, again, is saying that's a bar. A bar is a place of sealed water. Because you can take out water through man-made actions, that doesn't make it ois bar. To be maishrim, it has to be natural. So start again. The water originally comes from all the reservoirs, from upstate. And it comes into this gigantic reservoir. Now the assumption here is that the copepods spawn in Kanisco. They don't spawn upstate. They spawn here in the Kanisco Reservoir. Why it's that way, I don't know the science of it, but that's what this is based on. They spawn in Kanisco, and there, in that reservoir, it's made by rice, and therefore Rabelski holds that the copepods are mutter. This is Rabelski said. What? And it gets killed as well, as long as you hold the pipes on mutter, then it gets killed, I don't know exactly at what moment, but Kozman is connected to the May virus.
I don't
understand.
Why is the May virus coming from the Catskills?
Okay. So, well, if a human being throws it in, it's still May virus, but okay. All right, so this is one. Rav David Feinstein has two tainus on it, and I'm reading from his heter. Now, his tshuva is not widely available. Anybody wants, I'll make you a copy of it. He writes, Mashiach Shemim Diesh Lahat Yeshrotzim Elu, Vimnesha Mishavim Babar, Umutari Kabash Kasim Yeredeya Simim Pedalit. He says, L'chayre Einay Nachay, Benidin Shalanu, Shabezavab in New York, Ein Dene Babar, Kiven de mayim boim l'sham mayonais u'mein acholim. U'mamei l'choshev k'noivim ve'indinoi k'bar b'kai gavna. He says water does come from streams into the reservoir, and that's enough to aser. Now, Rabelski said it's a small percentage, so I'm skipping a few words, but he says ve'ein chilek b'ma deruba me'amayim ein amayshim v'itzim b'etzah. There's no chilek that this amount of water that comes from streams is ruba de ruba is not included. The saif kol saif amayim bam l'sham in the cholum amayonis. Saif kol saif, it has a naivim, it has a source from streams. So that's Rav David's first objection. And even if just a small amount of water comes, l'maisa it's mayim anoivim. And then he says a second objection. Avo be'emes, achashin is barer. Sharoiv mayim sham ba minaharais umayanais unachalim says even the water that comes from the upstate reservoirs, they also originate from mayanais, from rivers or springs. Pasha de mikri naivim va'aser afilum einam maishim. So Rav David has two taimes. One taime is there's a small amount of water which Rabelski's masking is mayim hanaivim that flows in from streams. Rabelski said it's under 2%, but there's a small amount. And secondly, Rav David's taina is that even the water that comes from upstate is not made by rice because the upstate waters also has a lot of it, I mean, some of it I'm sure comes from rain, but a lot of it comes also from Mayonais, what he calls Naharais or Mayonais and Nechalim. This is his objection. I didn't do any independent study about where the water comes from, but this is what they argue about. Now the second machlokes is about Meishchin, about the water being let out. Now, if you hold the Noivim, it doesn't really matter if they're Meishchin, because it's also either Noivim or Meishchin. But Rab David also disagrees on the Meishchin account, and he says, Gam Zeichem Hamayim Misham, V'dinai K'noivim U'Meishchin. He says the water flows out as well, and V'ein Chiluk, even if Rav of the water would be rainwater, the water flows out, the Indian and Kabar, I am Prima Gadim, he says a Prima Gadim that seems to say it. So in effect, he has three tainas. One taina is there's a certain amount of water that flows in naturally. The second taina is even the upstate water is Mayanes and the Chalim. And the third taina is, even if it's all rainwater, the outlet he considers to have a din of Mayim HaMoishchin. And for these three reasons, he disagrees with this particular heter. Now, as I said at the outset, there may be other heterim for our water. If it's called Nikr, if it's called Matsui, but the Reb David asks. Yeah.
You have to put a filter on?
Reb David is makpid on a filter, sure. Reb David is makpid in MTJ on the water fountain that says don't use it on Shabbos. The sink, it says, don't drink the water on Shabbos, because Rav David holds that even filtering it is us on Shabbos. But I have a guest who he's retired today. He was a Rebbe in MTJ. Comes to us for Shabbos a lot. So when I turn on the water to wash for Hamaitzi, he says, "Oh, don't shut it off!" And he runs to get a pitcher and he fills it up with water. And I'm a Shabbos guy, What? Well, Rabelski's Tainan, I hear the Meishchem Tainan, I hear better. He says, the Etzem, it's standing water, it's dammed up. The Ador is that human beings open. So I don't know what he holds about that. I don't know. A standing lake that has. Yeah, it's okay, but if you take a cup out, you can have a problem because it's a Ramah. I don't know if you have a problem. We have a problem because of the Ramah. What? So it depends. There are man-made lakes that have no inlet and outlet, and there are natural lakes which have an inlet and outlet. Okay, I want to talk to you for a second about Shabbos. And the main thing is to learn the Shulchan Aruch, to give a shir on the bugs and everything without our Ikar Vayda here is to understand a little more deeply and understand what it says here in Halacha. Nevertheless, I want to share with you the following. Kamat, all the Paiskim, aside from Rebelski, and somebody, a Talmud or Rebelski, relies on Rebelski, but Rav of the Paiskim today hold that you need filters for the water that you need. I know that, and I know Rav David held that way. I know Rav Geli in the Heights, Paskin for them, that they have to have filters. And I think in general, the Mahalach of the Paiskim is that the Kopapot issue, bottom line, is an issue, and that a person should have filtered, should have his water to be filtered. Now, having said that, I wanted to tell you two things. This I'm saying, I'm not quoting anybody, but I think it's correct. Number one, if you boil water, if you put water, you make macaroni, you boil water for macaroni. If you boil water, it seems to me it's mutter. Now, the reason for this is that when this tumult was going on, I had an acquaintance I had. Today he's retired. He was a biochemist who worked in one of the big labs. And he had helped me with some technical things. I asked him if he could figure out if copepods fall apart in hot water. You know that a beria is not bottle. If you lose a cup of pot and a cup of water, it's still aser. But if it falls apart, the halacha is even if an antenna falls off or a foot falls off the cup of pot, the halacha is that it's mutter. So I asked him, when you boil water, what happens? So he went, he did an experiment. I still have the photographs that he took in the lab. He put water, now he couldn't put it in a pot of water, because we ain't going to find it if it falls apart. What he did is he took small test tubes, put in water with copepods, and put those test tubes in a pot of water that he boiled. And he took pictures of the copepods before and after, and it was very clear that the copepods do fall apart to different degrees. Some fall apart a lot, some fall apart a little, but they all become dismembered to a certain degree from boiling water, which means that if you can't see it, if you're like me, you don't see it, and certainly if the hot water was put in, made into a vegetable soup, and you'll never see it, that it's no longer a barrier, and that it's mutter. Now someone asked me, what about the hot water urns? So I really made a mistake. We tested with bubbling water, which is 212 degrees. The hot water urns are not that hot. However, a test tube of water in bubbling water is not quite 212 degrees, and it reaches a certain heat. It could be hotter than these, but he's no longer there for me to. I could ask him if he can do another experiment, but it seems that with all the sveikis involved, yeah, the suffix of the fact that it's bubbling water, and you're talking in a case in your own home, so you use filtered water. But you go to visit your aunt or your grandma, and they don't know anything about the filtering water. So you're not going to drink water there, but what are you going to do with the chicken soup? So it seems that there's a big sad lahakel. Certainly, when the water is brought to a boil, that there's a solid basis to be matir. That's one point I want to make. The second point has to do with Shabbos. Now, there are many Paisim, including Reb David and Reb Geli, who asserted filtering the water on Shabbos. They said, for washing, you can do it, because you don't care. But for drinking, they asserted filtering the water on Shabbos, and so it's good to be machmir. However, I want to tell you the following. When this tumult happened, Rav Feivel Cohen spoke here upstairs for a gathering of Rabbanim. He had gone to Eretz Yisrael to talk to Rav Yashiv, and Rav Feivel was from the first Isrim, and he said, Rav Yashiv Asers, and he spoke. And I'm telling you what he said publicly. Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well. If Lange Yaron, you could confirm it with him. Rav Yashiv said the water has to be filtered. So he said, what about Shabbos? So Rav Yashiv asked him if the Goyim filter the water. He said, no. The Goyim don't worry about Shratzim. Well, the Goyim hold like the Shita that's mutter. I don't know. So the Goyim don't worry about Shratzim. So Rav Yashiv told him, if so, you're allowed to filter it on Shabbos. Now I want to explain this to you. There's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that talks about pouring grape juice through a cheesecloth to separate the sediment. Or we would say pouring orange juice to get the pulp out. It's a halacha mufureshes in the Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch. If you have juice that's perfectly drinkable, but you don't like the pulp, you don't like the pieces, and you pour it through a cheesecloth in order to separate it, that's mutar lechatchila. Why? The Isser of Misanein is an Isser of Tikkun Meichel. It's an Isser of fixing a food. If the food is drinkable beforehand, just people don't like pulp. I know all my kids didn't like pulp. So whenever I bought oranges for the house, I always bought with pulp. Because I bought without pulp, there was nothing left. I never got any oranges. So I always bought with pulp. And they said, Daddy, you bought with pulp again. I said, oh, yeah, forgot. And I always had oranges. So if you buy... If with pulp, most people, it's drinkable. People do like it, don't like it, but it's all a matter of being spoiled. It's very drinkable. So it's mutter. I assume that was what Rabbi Yashiv was saying. It's not a tikkun of the water. In halacha, it's a tikkun. But if it's not be'etzem, a tikkun in the water. So, well, let me finish. So Feivel said that on the plane, on the way back, he was thinking about it. And he said the following. He said, the Goyim, they don't filter it, because they don't know what these copepods look like. But once you see them, they're so mius, that nobody would drink the water. Everyone would filter it. And that's why he holds that it's also to filter it on Shabbos. Now that metzius, I personally don't agree with. I've seen the copepods. I know what they look like. And if there will be no halachic issue, I have no problem with the copepods. The copepods, as a matter of fact, they're crustaceans. They have calcium value in them, a very small amount. But it's not too mius for me. So Rav Feivel was saying, essentially, that Rabbi Yoshua was matir on Shabbos. Now, you take that together with what we will discuss, the possible heterim, whether Rabelski said that we discussed today, or the heterim of Matzu, Yenene Matzu, or the heterim of Nira, Veina, Nira, and I feel comfortable to do it, to be able to be Mesadin on Shabbos, and there's a tshuva in the Maram Shik, I think it's in Kuf Lamed Zayin. He says in his city, Hamedagdikin Misaninim. So there's a small amount of bugs in the water, Hamedagdikin Misaninim. The Hamoinam is not Misane. So he says, the Medagdikim, they're Misane. But he says, since the Ungenumen Heter is that it's Mutter, it's only Medagdikin Misaninim, therefore on Shabbos it's okay. Because it's not really sort of an Iker Adin. And that would seem to be, so I'm telling you, is two coolers that I'm speaking. I'm just telling you one cooler of filtering it on Shabbos, which Rav David says you're not allowed to. I'm not telling you to do it, but for those who do it, I'm explaining a possible direction of heter. And if it's boiled water, it's a possible direction of heter. But what's the ikar of alima today is to know the three gedarim of the three types of shrotzei hamayim. The three types, the machloikis of Meishchim and the Yitzim, which is a fascinating machloikis. And Yitzhashem will continue on with the Hilchis Taylor next week.